T.D. Worthington, pastor of the Pathway Baptist Church in Goldsboro, North Carolina, and this is Pathlight. And we're so glad to have you tuned in today to our program and hope you will stay tuned for the next 30 minutes or so as we assemble together and worship our Lord and have a special message today from the Word of God entitled The Wisdom of God. I hope you will stay tuned to our program. By the way, let me just mention that these programs are available on the Go Mix Christian Radio Facebook site, as well as the Christian Bible College Facebook site and the Pathway Christian Academy Facebook site. So you can find it at all those places. Also, we have a podcast, the Pathlight podcast. Check that up on whatever app you normally listen to your podcast on, and you'll find not only this program, but an archive of many other programs. I want to also say a word of thank you for your support over this past year, especially, and of course, we've been on the air longer than that, but this past year has been trying for many of us. Our budgets have been tight, and there's been all kinds of things going on in our country, and you've stood with us, and I just want to say a special word of thank you for doing that, for standing with our ministry, and we just appreciate you standing with Go Mix Radio and our college, our Christian Academy, and just thank you so much. We really appreciate your faithfulness there. In just a few moments, I'm going to be sharing a message about the wisdom of God, so I hope you'll stay tuned for that message, if you will. Just before that, though, I've got a musical selection coming your way by the Greens.
Question, would he free us? Yes, he answered.
If you're able to follow along in your Bibles today, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. You know, atheists think that Christians are foolish for believing in God. And we're speaking today about the wisdom of God, but atheists think we're kind of foolish. Whereas Christians look at atheists and think that they're just totally blind for not seeing the obvious, for not seeing the overwhelming evidence for a divine creator. But in reality, both sides of this argument are represented by some highly intelligent people. So how is it that two intelligent people presented with the same evidence can reach totally opposite conclusions? How is it that there are some very smart people that have heard the gospel story and have embraced it? On the other hand, there are some very smart people, according to the wisdom of the world, that have heard the gospel message and said, I don't want anything to do with this. I'm not going to accept this. It seems foolish to me. Have you ever wondered why? Two children reared in the same Christian home can have such drastically different responses to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We certainly saw that in Cain and Abel, raised in the same home, and yet one embraced the truth of God, one did not. And yet, even today, in a Christian home, one child can enthusiastically embrace the message of salvation. And yet, in the same Christian home, the same mom and dad, the same family rules, the same, they both went to church and everything else, had the same standards, and yet another child rebels against it. Have you ever wondered why it is that a friend of yours who's at the end of their emotional rope, so you talk with them about the solution to their dilemma, you talk to them about Jesus Christ, and they absolutely refuse to grab hold of the only lifeline that can save them. They're on the very verge of giving up on life, maybe even contemplating suicide, and you know at this point the only thing that could possibly help them is Jesus Christ, and yet they refuse to receive it. Or have you ever wondered why it is that a highly intelligent coworker, and you share your faith with that coworker, and these are smart guys, smart gals, and even though they have a high IQ higher than yours, yet it seems they just cannot comprehend the simple truth of the gospel message, a truth that even a child can understand, and yet they just don't seem to be able to grab a hold of it. The answer to all those questions is the same. It is that God's truth can only be understood by being willing to receive supernatural illumination from the Holy Spirit. No matter how persuasive the preacher or persuasive the speaker, no matter how humanly intelligent the listener, the gospel, which is the very wisdom of God, cannot be understood apart from being willing to accept the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, and that the truth that is presented is just not going to be received without God's illumination. Now, we see that illustrated in the Word of God. First of all, Paul reminds us that God's wisdom is hidden from unbelievers. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. In other words, what Paul is teaching us here is the message of the cross that seems so foolish to so many is really the greatest of wisdom, because it's God's wisdom. But it will only seem like wisdom if God opens your eyes and if you allow your eyes to be open. Did you notice the word perfect in that scripture? It said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The word refers to being mature or fully developed, like an animal or plant, a human being who's fully grown, fully developed. But perfect also means fully initiated. That is, it refers to people who have been granted full membership in a group. And that seems to be part of Paul's thinking here. Notice what Paul says about the wisdom of God. He says the gospel is a mystery to unbelievers. And Paul's going to use two phrases to describe that mystery of the gospel. He says that the gospel is not the wisdom of this world. Paul is saying that this wisdom of God is not a contemporary message. Think about that for a moment, if you will. Man's wisdom says that man is basically good. God's wisdom says that man is basically evil. Man's wisdom says everybody's going to heaven. God's wisdom said, no, only a few are going to heaven. Man's wisdom says we're saved by self-effort. God's wisdom says, no, we're only saved by grace. Man's wisdom says there are many pathways to heaven. God's wisdom says, no, there is only one. And that's why Paul says it doesn't matter how you try to reshape it. The gospel message, if preached faithfully, will always be out of step with contemporary thinking. And that's one of the problems with many churches today. We're trying to make it fit into contemporary thinking, and it's just not going to do it. Not only does Paul say that it's not of this world, he also says it's not of the princes of this world in that same verse. He expands on that in verse 8, which he says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Who were the rulers of this age who did not understand the gospel? Well, the most likely explanation is he's referring to the Roman and Jewish leaders who crucified Christ. He said if they'd understood what they were doing, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Yet it's also true of much of our religious and political leadership today. Just like the religious leaders in Jerusalem at the day of our Lord, they didn't understand, they didn't want to understand. Many religious leaders don't today, just like the political leaders back in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified. Many political leaders don't want to hear it today. And just like the masses that cried, crucify him, crucify him, many people today don't want to hear it either. They just don't get it. Notice what else Paul says about the gospel. Not only is it a mystery to unbelievers, but the gospel, he says in verse 7, was predestined by God. The death of our Lord was not some accident. It was all a part of God's plan of redemption. The Bible describes Jesus as the Lamb chosen before the foundation of the world. It's all a part of God's plan. Or again, he says in Acts 2:23, this man Jesus delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men, and you put him to death. Now, although God's wisdom is hidden from unbelievers, I want you to notice the second truth in this passage, and that is God's wisdom is supernaturally communicated to believers. It is supernaturally communicated to believers. 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 12. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, he says, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Do you get that? God's wisdom is only imparted supernaturally by the Holy Spirit to believers. And that is one of the keys here. How does God open our hearts and open our eyes, open our ears so that we can grasp the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? How does that happen? How is it that he's able to communicate truth to those who are mature, initiated, and a part of this elite group? Well, there are several words that help us understand how God's word is supernaturally communicated to us. I want to give you some of the words to help you explain how God does that. The first word is inspiration. This was the process by which God oversaw the composing and recording of his message into the pages of what we now call today the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. God revealed his truth to the apostles. Now, how did they get it down on paper without error? It was through the process of inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Bible says. Some of God's revelation was word for word. We might use the term verbatim, dictation. God dictated and man wrote. In the book of Revelation, Jesus came to John and said, "What thou seest, write in a book, write it down." And Jesus gave him specific direction of what to write down. Other parts of the Bible are the words of God penned through the personalities of men. When we see David expressing himself in the Psalms, he's expressing his joy, but he also expressed the depths of despair he faced. It wasn't a verbal dictation, but it was still the word of God. Nevertheless, every word of the Psalms was inspired by God. It was all a part of God's message to us. He oversaw both the recording and the composing of Scripture so that it was given to us without contradiction, without error. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The second word we need to understand is the word revelation. Look at verse 10 if you can. "But God hath revealed them to us." What is them? It is the hidden truth. What is revelation? Revelation is the revealing of God's message, the communication of God's message to man. God leads each of us. He speaks to each of us. That's how we know we're his children. Our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the children of God. Everything we need to know about God at any given point in our lives, he's willing to reveal to us if we're willing to receive it. By the way, much of that revelation will come from the Bible itself. Some may come from the still small voice of the Spirit. Some may come from preachers or teachers or counselors or your Christian brothers and sisters that may help you, but it will all mesh totally with the word of God. The third word I want to give you today is the word illumination. God's truth is illuminated. Illuminated means you shine a light on it. You make it glow. You make it glimmer, if you will. Illuminated by the Holy Spirit of God. Illumination is so you can see. You walk into a room, the room's dark, you don't know what's in the room, you turn on the light so you can see. And God's word is the same way. You walk in there, you're not going to see much. But once that room is illuminated by the Holy Spirit, and only he can do it, then you suddenly can see. Illumination is the understanding that God gives us about his word. That's when I open this book, I will still not be able to understand it unless the Holy Spirit illuminates it. It doesn't matter how smart I am. It doesn't matter what my IQ is. None of that really matters. And I've known some very smart men pick up the Bible and they don't understand a thing in the world. Why? Because it takes the Holy Spirit to illuminate that word. D.L. Moody used to say something like this. He used to say, trying to read the Bible without the Holy Spirit is like trying to read a sundial by moonlight. It's not illuminated. You just can't do it. You might have some illumination by your own intellect or by your own ability or by your own experience, but you're not going to get an accurate reading because it just cannot be seen in moonlight. You and I have the Holy Spirit of God to open his word to us. That's what he says in verse 14. He says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." It says a lost man, a man without the Holy Spirit, is not going to receive the things of the Spirit of God. He says he can't understand them. They have to be spiritually discerned. Now look at verse 15. "But he that is spiritual," that's referring to the Christian, "judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." And not is it just referring to a Christian, is referring to a spirit-filled Christian. What's the application of the message I'm wanting to share with you right now? First of all, this message has an application to non-Christians. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you really don't understand the cross, Christ's death for you, and why that was necessary, I pray that God might open your eyes so that you can understand, so that you can believe. I want you to be willing today to open your eyes. If you're lost, if you're not a Christian, be willing. Say, "God, I want you to speak to me. I want to understand your word." I'm not saying we're going to understand all of it. No man does. But I want to understand your truth to the degree that I need it right now in my life, Lord. Please open your word up for me. this message has an application to non-believers. Secondly, if you are a Christian, it's important to understand that truth on your own. Yes, you were willing to be open to the message, and I'm thankful for that. But it was not your great intellect that figured it out. It was the Holy Spirit that illuminated your heart to embrace the truth. The third thing I want to mention, I said first, now this message has an application to non-believers. Second, if you're a Christian, I had a message for you. Important to understand, you didn't come to these grand conclusions on your own. Third, just as you receive the message of salvation, the Holy Spirit has other things He wants you to understand. Deep things beyond the simple message of salvation. If you're saved today, you're saved today because the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin and convicted you of your need to receive Jesus Christ. God has other things to teach you. How is He going to do that? He's going to do it the same way. There's spiritual riches that God wants you to grab a hold of in your life. Do you understand, for an example, that He's given you power to overcome sin in your life? You don't have to say yes to sin. You don't have to allow sin to destroy your life and destroy your family. Do you realize that God has freely given you the ability so that you can have peace even if your world is collapsing on you? Jesus says, "Peace, my peace, I leave with you." Do you understand today, Christian friend, that you can have the assurance, the mind to know that one day you are going to be raised from the dead, imperishable, raised from the dead to be imperishable, incorruptible, and immortal? Do you understand that? That assurance can be yours. Where do I find these things that have been freely given to me, freely promised to me by God? Where do I find them? I find them in this book, the Bible, but only as this book is illuminated by the Holy Spirit. In this book is the hidden wisdom of God. In this book is everything I need for godliness, for life eternal and abundant, and for a never-ending relationship with God. If there's one dynamic truth I want to leave with you today, it's this truth. The Bible that you hold in your hand when you hold that Word of God in your hand, they're not just static words on a page. Through this scripture, through God's holy word, through that book, God pours His very life into your life. Remember what Moses said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 32, 46, and 47. He said these words. And he said unto them, "Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it's not a vain thing for you, because it is your life." Moses said to the children of Israel, he said, this book, these writings, the Word of God is your life. And so it is for the Christian. And so it is for you today. If you're lost and you need God in your life, you need wisdom in your life, you need answers in your life, you will find them in this book. As this book is illuminated by the Holy Spirit, in this book I find that hidden wisdom of God, wisdom that's available to anyone and everyone who is willing to receive it. So today we're speaking about the wisdom of God. So that's why atheists think that Christians are dumb for believing in God. They scratch their heads like, "You people are crazy. You believe in a God you've never seen face to face. You've never spoken to word for word, so to speak. That's dumb. There's no evidence that they see, the atheist sees of God." He says, "You Christians are dumb, you know." And yet, we look at them and say, how can you atheists be so foolish? There's so much evidence around you of a divine creator. There's so much evidence. If you just open your eyes, these things didn't happen by accident. They happened by the hand of a creator. What is wrong with you? And on both sides of that argument, you've got what the world would consider some very intelligent people, people with high IQs, people that are knowledgeable. And yet, one person will embrace it, one person will not. This truth that I share with you today must be illuminated by the Holy Spirit. But you have a free will, so you must be willing to allow God to illuminate the scriptures in your life. He's not going to do it without your permission. But if you desire to be illuminated, you desire to understand the deeper things of God, you desire to take hold of truth that you cannot begin to comprehend with the natural mind. If you desire that in your life, God can do that for you, and He wants to do that for you. He's willing to do that for you. He desires to do that for you. If you'll just simply call upon Him and ask, just ask, hey, Lord, I want to understand. If you're lost today, say, Lord, I want to understand. I'm not sure if you exist. Did you know that's how I got saved? I got down on my knees one day and I said, God, I don't even know if you exist or not. I really don't know. I grew up believing that you existed. I wasn't a Christian, I know, but I believed in your existence. But I went to college and I got around people and I got in the business world. And before long, Lord, God, I just don't even know if you exist or not. But I know this, if you do exist, I want to know you. If there is a such thing as heaven, that's where I want to go. If there is a real God, it's Him I want to serve. And I just cried that out before the Lord. I said, Lord, if you're real, I want you in my life. If you're not, fine, good. I'll go on the way I am. And you know, before I got up off my knees, I began to pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm lost and I need to be saved. And I do believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin, resurrected the third day. I believe that. And I believe He'll save me right now. And He did. He did. And I thank God for that. And He can do the same. He can do the same for you. Well, with that, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. We've been chatting about the wisdom of God as contrasted with the wisdom of man. We're trying to solve so many problems in our society today with the wisdom of men. And I'm thankful for men that are trying to do the right thing and doing everything they can to do the right thing. But it's just not going to work because man needs God's wisdom. This is God's world, folks, in the sense that He created it. He created you and I. We need to get back to the Creator's manual if we want to know how to run things and run things properly. Well, till next time, this is T.D. Worthington saying, may God richly bless you is our prayer. Hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful week. Hope things go well this week. And Lord willing, we'll chat with you next week.